Hello, and welcome to this recording brought to you by the British Council.
Cryptology by Paul Millard. Secret codes are not a new idea. They are almost as old as writing itself. We know that the ancient Egyptians and Greeks used them, as did the Arabs of 1,000 years ago. They were especially important in war. Commanders didn't want the enemy to capture their messages and understand their plans, so they wrote them in code. Of course, the enemy did want to understand the messages, so they would try to find the code, or break it. The Enigma Code. As a result, codes became more and more complicated. One of the most famous is the Enigma Code, invented by the Germans and used in the Second World War. People believed that it was impossible to break because it was so clever. The amazing thing about Enigma was that it was always changing. In one message, the letter E could be F, but in another message, it could be Z. So there were millions of possibilities in every coded message. The first people to attempt to break the code were the Polish, who were concerned about Hitler's rise to power. A group of mathematicians worked on the Enigma problem. They found out a lot about how it worked, but they couldn't understand it. When Hitler attacked in 1939, the Poles told the British everything that they knew about the code. Atlantic Danger. Most of the British codebreakers thought that Enigma was unbreakable. They were especially concerned about the Enigma variations used by the German Navy. The submarines sent by Hitler to attack ships in the Atlantic were probably the greatest danger faced by the British and American allies in the war. Britain needed food and other essentials from outside, and the Americans needed to send soldiers and supplies safely across the ocean. Without breaking the code, there was little chance of defeating the submarines. Without control of the Atlantic, there was little chance of victory. Alan Turing, Codebreaker. Almost alone, one man began to work on the problem. He was a brilliant young mathematician called Alan Turing. He believed that he could break the code with advanced logic and statistics. However, he needed to make a machine that could do a very large number of calculations very quickly. By improving on the machines that the Poles had made, he built a machine called the Bomb. It worked. He broke the Enigma code. The British and Americans could read the messages that were sent to and from Hitler's submarines. Slowly, the Allies won the Battle of the Atlantic. They had freedom to move at sea and could send their armies to liberate Western Europe from Hitler and the Nazis. In 1943, they went to Italy, and in 1944, they successfully landed in France. This was the landing shown in the film Saving Private Ryan. Without Turing and his code-breaking, the history of Europe and the world could have been very different. From code-breaking to computer building. Turing continued working with machines and electronics, and in 1944 he talked about building a brain. Turing had an idea for an electronic universal machine that could do any logical task. Soon after the war, he went to work at Manchester University, and in 1948, the Manchester baby was born. It was Turing's second great invention, and the world's first digital computer. When he sent a message from his computer to a telex machine, Alan Turing wrote the first email in history. So what happened next in the life of this highly talented man? His great achievements in code-breaking and computing happened in his 20s and 30s. He was still a young man. In the same year that his computer worked for the first time, he nearly ran in the Olympic Games for Britain. We know that he had many ideas to develop in digital computing, quantum physics, biology, and philosophy. Sadly, he wasn't able to work fully on these ideas. Turing's personal life became more and more problematic. A genius under attack. Alan Turing was a homosexual. Nowadays, this is legal and widely accepted in Britain and most other Western countries. 50 years ago, it was a very different story, and people were sent to prison for homosexual acts. Turing had to stop doing code-breaking work for the British government because his homosexuality was a security risk. This hurt and angered him, especially as it hadn't been a problem in the war years. Increasingly, Turing refused to hide his homosexuality, believing that there was nothing wrong with him. Perhaps he felt that he deserved individual freedom, having done so much for freedom in the world. Finally, he was arrested by the police, and in March 1952 he was found guilty at a criminal trial. He wasn't sent to prison. Instead, he was injected with the female hormone estrogen in an attempt to stop his homosexual behavior. A tragic end. 2 years later, Alan Turing was dead. He killed himself by eating an apple containing the poison cyanide. The apple, the symbol of the physics of Newton, of forbidden love, of knowledge itself, became the symbol of tragic death. For many years, Turing was a forgotten hero. Now, more than 50 years after his death, more and more people are learning of his work, in war and in peace. The BBC made a television program about him. Some years ago, a statue designed by Glyn Hughes was put up in a small park in Manchester. It is of Turing, sitting on a park bench, with an apple in his hand. The money for the statue mostly came from individual people who wanted to remember him. No money came from the British government or any major computer company, despite the great work that Turing had done for them. It is a wonderful memorial, but perhaps a greater memorial is that you are reading this now because of Turing's computing work, and that I could write it in a democratic country in Western Europe.
We hope you've enjoyed this recording. To find out more about the British Council and the services we offer, contact your local British Council office or go to www.britishcouncil.org. Bye for now.